Praise and worship God. Amen. Amen. Well, I am thankful for God, for his presence. I don't know about you, but I hope that you are at a better place than when you came in here. Amen. Not because of us, but because of God's presence. Amen. Amen. God is good. It says in his presence, there is the fullness of joy. Amen. And one thing about joy is that it's not happiness. Amen. We believe that joy, and we know that joy is the confident expectation that everything's going to be all right. Amen. Amen. It is the firm belief that in whom we trust, he is faithful. Amen. So whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, whatever you're experiencing, everything may be good. Amen. Because everything's not always bad. And so we believe that even the good can continue. Amen. Why? Because God is faithful and he has promised. Amen. If y'all can turn it down in the monitors just a little bit more, this mic. Thank you. It's like I'm up here screaming. I know I'm not. I know I don't do a whole lot of screaming, but it seems like I'm screaming. Amen. So what I want to talk about, and it was a beautiful segue, and it was orchestrated by God because none of that was planned. Amen. But today's message is he is my support. Amen. How many of y'all need some support today? Right? How many of y'all need some reassurance? How many of y'all need some confidence? How many of y'all need to know that you have support? Well, I'm here to tell you today because God told me to tell you that you have some support. Amen. And that's good news. So let's turn to Psalms 139. Amen. Psalms 139. And so we're going to start at verse 7 and we're going to read down to verse 12. And I think this is important, especially if you're experiencing anything where you feel like you're not supported. And that's a hard place to be. It's a lonely place, right? It can be a hopeless place. But today, I believe that God is going to speak to those places in your life and help you to know that he is your support. Amen. So read Psalms 139, verse 7. It's up on the screen as well. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go to heaven, you are there. If I go to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell in the furthest ocean, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. Let me read that again. It says, even there in the deepest ocean or in the darkest place, he says, my hand will guide you, right? And your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. Amen. So that's a beautiful passage of scriptures that help us to know that no matter what place we are in, God is there. Right. And that's some deep places. Right. In the grave, it says he's there. Right. In the furthest part of the ocean. So we all know about the submarine. Right. We know about the submarine that went down there and had an accident and all that stuff. They were trying to go to 13,000 feet. Right. So that's about seven. Let's see here. Five, 13, 12, 5.5 miles down. Guess what? God was down there, too. Right. In the darkest, deepest part of the ocean. And while I know none of us are going down in the deepest parts of the ocean. But in our lives, we can find some dark places, right? We can find ourselves in some dark places. We can find ourselves in some struggles and some places where we don't feel supported. We can have people around us and still not feel like we're supported. But God says, I'm here, right? I'm there with you. And we can't always feel that. Sometimes because of the emotional distress that we're going through, it sometimes seems like we're all alone and we can be in a room full of people. But today, because I know the God that we serve, and because I've been through a few things, I know that God promises, because of his word, amen, he promises to be with us. He promises to support us. He promises to stand beside us. Guess what? Even when we do it wrong, even when we mess up, even when we say the wrong things, even when we don't believe, he promises to be there, right? His the fact that he is there because he's omnipresent, amen, right? Meaning he is everywhere at the same time. Amen. And so he can be there for you and for me and for Shelby and for Don, for Robert, right? For Booby, for everyone. He can be there all at the same time. And so I am thankful that he is our support. And so support, again, is so important. And the main verse that I'm going to talk about is Psalms 139 and verse 10. It says, even there, whatever place that you're at, right, whatever dark place, whatever hard place, whatever place of even hopelessness and unbelief, struggle, pain, whatever it may be, he says, even there, his hand will guide you. His hand will guide you. Right. And his strength will do what? Support you. Right. It will support you. And so today I need you to believe what God is saying, that he will support you even if you don't feel it right now. But as you believe, right, it says that they were healed as they went, right, the lepers, right? So they were healed as they went. And so in this life, it's going to be a process. How many of y'all understand processes, right? From point A to point B to point C to point D. Like everything just don't happen A to Z, just automatically A to Z, right? As the lepers went, they were healed. They were cleansed. They were made whole. So today, the first step is you would believe that God is your support, right? Believe that he is your support and that he's capable of supporting. And I know you think that your problem is too heavy even for God. And that's how the enemy tricks us, right? He helps us. He makes us think that not even God can help me. Not even God can get me out of this. But if God saved you, right, if he saved you, if he transformed you, if he took you from death to life, if when you check up out of here that you're going to go to heaven, then he can deal with everything else that's going on here. But it's our perspective, right? Do we believe that God is big? Amen. And so I'm going to keep going. And so I love construction. Well, I don't do a whole lot of construction. I do some, you know, handyman stuff and fix some stuff. And I work in an industrial setting, so I've done a lot of maintenance. But recently I've been watching a lot of stuff about concrete, right? I love concrete, even though I've only done it one time. But I love watching it, let me say that. I don't love doing it because I ain't done it. I know it's hard work. I see these guys, and I know Brother Robert has done a lot of concrete work, and it is hard, and he would probably tell me not to do it. Let the professional do it. But anyways, so with concrete, there's something that they have called forms. If y'all can put it up on the screen, the picture of the concrete, you've seen this. When you drive around, you see construction, you see all these different things, and what is that? It's a concrete form, right? And so what does it have around it? Supports, right? And so the supports are important. Why? Because they help to set the pattern, right? To hold all the things in. Because concrete's really heavy. Like, I don't know how much it weighs per pound, but it's thousands of pounds. And it takes lots of forms and supports to hold it in. Well, when you are feeling unsupported, I believe that's because there is a lot of pressure on you, right? There's a lot of things going on all at one time. And I have absolutely, or my family has been there many times where it's just like one blow after another, one thing after another, one disappointment after another, one issue after another. And it can get to a point to where it's just like, God, when is this going to change? And guess what? That's a real response, right? We love God. We saved. We full of faith. But we like, God, when is this going to stop? Or when am I going to feel supported? And so we see here that with the concrete, it takes a lot of support. And so when you're faced with too much pressure, so if they don't support it enough or they pour too much concrete on that, then something happens, right? The pressure breaks it, right? And you may be at that place where you feel like that you're broken, that you can't take it any further, and thus that requires support. If we can put the next picture up, kind of show where some of you all may be at, right? You may be struggling a little bit, right? You might have your arm in a sling. That's why I have my little demonstration over, but I think the pictures will work fine to show, right, that when there's too much pressure on a body part, what happens? It breaks, right? And so when it breaks, there's the need for what? Support, right? Support. And so it's important that you get the support that you need. Why? So you can be healthy and you can be whole. And sometimes we think that we deserve to be broken, right? Sometimes we think that we have done things that have come upon us and that we deserve it. And the reality is we do a lot of things that harm ourselves. We get ourselves in bad situations. We do stuff. We spend too much money. We overeat. We party. We do this. We do that. Right. And then we find ourselves overwhelmed. How am I going to get out of this? Well, guess what? God is still ready to support you, even if you made the mistake. Right. It's not only if it just happened to if somebody did something to you. Right. Even when we do it wrong, even when the circumstances of life come. God says that I will support you. I will be your support. He says, I will guide you and I will be your support. So we see that with support, I want to define support because we say a lot of words and we understand in general what support is. But the definition, I think, really gives a clear understanding of what support is. And it says support, defined, means to bear all or part of the weight of or hold up, right? To give assistance to a thing that bears the weight of something to keep it upright. So I like that last one. That says to a thing that bears the weight of something or keep it upright. Amen. Amen. So I believe that God wants to keep you upright. Amen. I know sometimes we want to lay down, right? We want to give up. We want to lay in the bed. We want to eat some cookies and ice cream. We want to drink. We want to smoke. But I believe God wants to keep us upright. Right. He wants to keep us strong. He wants to keep us in the race. He doesn't want us to give up. That's why he says that I'm your support. Right. Even when you don't feel supported, even when you don't sense support, even when you don't sense my presence, he says, I'm here. Right. I'm right beside you. I'm right there in the time of need. We say a lot of things. We quote a lot of scriptures, but we have to begin to believe, God, you are with me. Right. Even when we don't feel him, even when we don't see him, he promises to be there. And so you may say, okay, how does God support us? Well, I believe there are three things that God has shown me on how he supports us. So the first one is his presence, right? We experience his presence today. And David said it in Psalms 137:7. I can never escape from your spirit. Or your presence. I can never get away from your presence. So this is a promise. And of course, David was in agony at this point, right? He was crying out to God. And we know this was inspired by the Holy Spirit. But he was finding himself at a place where he was being wrongfully accused, right? The context of Psalms 139 is that he was being wrongfully accused of being an idolater. And so that's why in this verse, he talks a lot about God examine me and God, you know my ways and all this stuff. But he makes this declaration where he says, I can never escape your presence. I can never escape what it is that you are, because he is an all-seeing and an all-knowing God. And so when you're in sin, an all-seeing and an all-knowing God is difficult. Isn't that right? Right. When you're doing whatever you want to do, when you're saying whatever you want to say, when you're going wherever you want to go and live in any way, and all seeing God is like, man, like I can't go nowhere. He's everywhere. Even while I'm sinning, he's right there. Amen. But when you're in trouble and when things are going wrong and when you need some help, it's a beautiful thing to know that God is everywhere. He's in your darkest place. When you're strong, he's there. When you're weak, right? When you're ready to give up, when you just don't know when this is going to end, you can declare, God, you are everywhere. You are right here. Whether it's in the hospital room, whether it's in your bedroom, whether it's wherever it would be, right? And that's a beautiful thing. And David, he keeps saying this, I can't escape your presence. I can never get away from your presence. He promises us that he would never leave us or forsake us. Even when we leave him, you know, he's still there. You know, even when you walk away from God, when you walk away from church, when you're doing all manners of things, God is still there. He's still convicting you, and he's still pulling you back, and he's still helping you to remember that he's there, even when you turn your back on him. And that's the beautiful thing about God and about Christ, is that he died, the Bible says, when we were yet sinners. Meaning he died when we rejected him. How many of y'all have rejected Christ? We all have. Right? Nobody was born saved. That's impossible. Like, it's not the only person. Jesus and John the Baptist. John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit in the womb. Nobody else, right? We all had to come into the knowledge. So we were all God's enemy. But he promises that even as your enemy, he's there. Right? Even as an enemy of God, God is there. He's even around the sinner, right? Trying to draw them to himself, trying to bring them to a place to know him better. So he promises to never leave us. Again, how does God support us? With his presence. He's an ever-present help in the time of trouble. Right? That's a promise. He is an ever-present help. He's there. He's there. And sometimes we can get at a place where we hear these scriptures and we're like, I know that's true, but I still don't feel him. Isn't that right? Yeah, absolutely. Well, I would say that one way we access his presence is through prayer, right? And so in our darkest times, that's where we have to hit our knees, right? That's where we have to begin to commune with God, right? It's one of those things that we talk about prayer and we talk about being in the presence of God, but I don't know if we always access it as much as we could or as much as we should. Because sometimes we're run down and sometimes we feel disconnected and unsupported because we haven't gotten in his presence, right? Because life beats you down and so you're too tired seemingly to even pray. But that's the way the enemy does, right? He comes to do what? Kill, steal, and destroy. So if he can steal your prayer time, if he can steal your worship time, if he can steal you away from church, if he can steal you away from what? The power source, right? It's almost like a cell phone. It's like you're doing all the work, right? And that's your life. And you see the battery's getting low and you're getting low, right? So you just start sleeping a lot and you just start missing and you start not answering the phone and you start, you know, feeling depressed and you just start doing all this stuff. But then you'll never plug it up, right? And that's sometimes why we can find ourselves unsupported, is because we're not going back to the maker. We're not going back to the energy source, the one that can give you one word that can comfort you and tell you it's going to be all right. Everything's going to work out. Everything's going to work out for your good if you'll just keep trusting me. Right? We got to plug in. We got to reconnect with the source, which is his presence. And I believe without a doubt that he can make you feel supported as you get in his presence. Right? As you push away life, because guess what? Life's going to keep coming. At some point, it's like I got to step away. And who showed us that better than Jesus? Right? What did he do? He constantly says, I got to go away. I got to go away. I got to go away. And where did he go? He didn't go sleep. He went to pray. Right? He went to pray. He says, I must talk to my Father. Because I got a lot of stuff going on. And while Jesus was completely God, but he was completely human. Right? He did not use his God-like abilities to manipulate the situation. That's why he sweat the blood, right, when he was in distress. He had to go away and recharge himself. So don't neglect the power of prayer, the power of getting in God's presence. And I need you to do it this week. All right, this week. Just every day for the next 7 days till next Sunday. I need you to take 5 minutes. How many of y'all got 5 minutes? You got 5 minutes. If you already prayed more than 5 minutes, add 5 more minutes. I need you to just stop. Get in a quiet place, not with your phone, not with somebody, just a quiet place. Just 5 minutes. You can set the timer on your phone, 5 minutes, and just pray. Just sit in his presence and watch how your perspective begins to change, how you begin to sense and feel God in a different way, right? But we have to practice his presence, right? We have to practice being devoted to him. And be like, well, I'm too busy. We really not. We doing a whole lot of scrolling, a whole lot of TikToking, a whole lot of YouTubing, a whole lot of video games, a whole lot of talking on the phone, a whole lot of, you know, all these different, we do all these things and they're fine. But we'll neglect, because I'm going to tell you, TikTok is not going to give you no strength. It's not going to give you no support. It may have some good sayings, may have some encouraging stuff. But guess what? He's not going to cause you to feel the support that you need. So his presence, right? I believe and I know that it's real and tangible, right? If you'll seek after him. He says, if you seek after me, you'll find me. Remember, 5 minutes. I'm going to remind y'all this week. 5 minutes a day just to be in his presence, right? Just to talk to him, commune with him, ask him, you know, praise him, whatever it is. Right. And so his presence, how does God support us through his presence? The next one is through his correction. Uh-oh. So how many of y'all know about support? OK, so if we put the picture back up of the people that are injured. So support is not always about hearing something that makes you feel better right away. I'm going to say that again. Support is not always about hearing something that makes you feel better right away. When you're going through something, say you lost a job, say something went on, something's going on, whatever, and the situation may be where there needs some correction, right? So in the case of a broken limb, imagine you break your arm and you go to the doctor and your arm's all messed up and it's like out of place, and you say, don't set my arm because it's too much pain right now. How many of y'all would do that? No, you wouldn't. You may think, like, don't touch it. Leave it alone. Don't mess with it. But guess what? The doctor knows that if he don't set that arm, then it's going to be a life of pain and dysfunction. Right? That arm will never be as strong as it was because it's still out of place. So sometimes with support, it requires some things to be changed, right? Sometimes you're suffering because you're doing some stuff wrong. Sometimes you're believing the wrong things. Sometimes you're believing the wrong voice, right? And so correction comes in order to put you back in alignment, right? To fix that broken thing so that you can have a healthy lifelong, right? Whatever it is, right? Whatever your circumstance is. And sometimes there's no correction needed outside of you need to believe and trust God. But sometimes, whether it's grieving or pain or whatever, but we get ourselves in some situations that make us feel unsupported or cause us to get into isolation, right? And sometimes we have the wrong thoughts about people, like people don't love us. Nobody's for me. Everybody's against me. Maybe there are some things that you've done that cause you to be in a bad situation and you believe it to be right. How many of you have ever been in that situation where you've done something and you think this is right until someone comes along and says, you know, that's not the right way to do that, right? That's not the right way to think. You shouldn't talk to them like that. When you talk to them like that, say, with your mate, say you talk to them crazy, and then you wonder why they lash out at you. You can't see the connection. You can't see that you talking crazy to them causes them to talk crazy to you. And so y'all just in there fighting and arguing. So it's like, I'm not supported. My husband or wife don't support me. My kids don't support me. But all you do is yell at them. Right? So somebody has to come along and say, you know, if you just have a conversation without yelling, without name calling, without finger pointing, without bringing up the past, there may be some resolution. But we can get in bad habits, isn't that right? We can get in bad patterns. We can get in dysfunction. We can do things that our parents did that seemingly like they was happy, but really they were miserable, right? So we have to engage in some corrective behavior. Right. You have to understand that God is going to be a God that is going to correct you. So in your prayer time, you may begin to sense the Holy Spirit correcting you. Right. Telling you. Right. You need to do something a little bit different. You need to think a little bit different. Don't be so hard on yourself, right? There's a whole range of corrections that can come. It's not always that you're wrong, but it's like you need to readjust some things. There are some opportunities for you to look at this differently. And so as I was studying, Hebrews 12 and 11 says this: for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Let me read that again. Hebrews 12 and 11. They're going to put it up on the screen. For the moment, all discipline seems painful. How many of y'all like correction? How many of y'all like being told that you're doing something wrong? None of us. Absolutely none of us. It says, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. It's like medicine. It don't taste good, but you know you need it, right? You know, it's like, I'm just going to try to chase it with something, this big old horse pill or this terrible medicine, whatever. Nobody wants to take it, but you know you need it to get better. That's discipline. That's correction. And so even in our places of unsupport, where we feel unsupported, we have to look and see, am I doing something, right? Am I refusing help from everybody, right? Am I refusing help from everybody? People are calling, people are texting, people are reaching out to you, and they ask you, how you doing? And you're just like, I'm okay. I'm fine. Ain't nothing going on. Life's falling apart. But then 5 minutes later, you'll be like, I don't feel supported. Ain't nobody, you know, and a lot of times with us as pastors, people want us to be like mind readers. Like, you know, Pastor Daisy has a prophetic gift, and, you know, I flow in the prophetic from time to time, but we not psychics, right? We can't, God don't tell us everything. I was reading something on Facebook, and they were talking about the new pastor warranty. It was like, if you got trouble, call the pastor, because the pastor don't know. It's like, unfortunately, the pastor is defective because he's not a psychic. Or she's not a psychic, right? We're not psychics. Like, we're not just like, at times, of course, God will lead us to call you and be like, is everything all right? And even sometimes in those times, still be like, no, I'm fine. Ain't nothing going on. And I get it. Sometimes life is difficult, right? And you just don't want to share it. But God is saying, hey, you got to correct that, right? You got to be open. You got to be vulnerable. You got to be transparent, right, to those that love you and those that are concerned with you, not just those that are trying to be nosy, because we got those people, right? You got friends that all they want to know is all the bad stuff, all the gossip, all the tea, all that stuff. Like, you can't talk to them because they're going to tell everybody, right? But those that God has placed right around you. So we have to correct the way that we're thinking. So discipline, it's painful. It's not pleasant. But what does it do? It yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who are trained by it. As we listen, as you at least consider, can you do that this week? If you're faced with some correction, can you just ask this one question? Do I need the change? Just consider it. Just ask the question. Is this something that I need? Because normally we'd be like, no, it ain't me. I'm good. I don't never argue with my husband. It's always him. My wife's always wrong. My kids, they wrong. It's like, when Holy Spirit, when you're yelling at your kids, like just crazy, and the Holy Spirit's like, don't yell at him. It's like, what? Because I believe he's going to do it, right? When you're yelling at people driving down the road, oh, Lord, I know it's, we all find ourselves there, right? But as God begins to change us, right, as he begins to correct us, at least ask the question, is this for me? Is it right? Right? Like, I have, you know, I manage a bunch of people. At times I have to correct them. And it's not always a fun conversation. It's not always accepting. It's lots of excuses and lots of they doing it too. And did you check them? And what about them? And that's what we'll do, right? It's like, I'm not really that bad. And that says it all, right? Not really that bad. Right? It's not, I didn't do that. Because we can absolutely defend ourselves. And sometimes we do, even in our wrong. It's like, that wasn't me. I didn't do that. I didn't forget to do that. I didn't say that. But our memory is really short for ourselves. but really long for everybody else. Remember every conversation, every time, every date. I remember what they was wearing when they said it. But when you said it, it's like, did I? What? I don't think so. Not in, it wasn't in that context. I don't think I said those words. I think you heard wrong. Knowing you done said all that and more. Amen. His presence, right? How does he support us? He supports us by correcting us, right? By correcting us. I got one more for you. Proverbs 15 and 32. It says, whoever ignores instruction despises himself. But he who listens to reproof gains intelligence. It's on the screen. It's in the book, is what it said. I had another one. Let me see if I can find the other one. Because the other one was just, no, that was on my phone. The other one basically said, when you don't listen, you're stupid. That's in the word. Stupid is in the Bible. It is in the Bible. I'm not calling y'all stupid. He basically says, those that don't listen are stupid. It's in there. I'll give you the verse. But again, it's important that even when you find yourself unsupported, that God is there to, because he just doesn't want to make you feel good. Right? Christianity is not about just making you feel good and be happy. It is about you being healthy and whole and being able to have a life and a life more of more abundance. Right? And we have to be at a healthy place, even in our sorrow and in our pain, even when we don't feel supported. God will say, this is a way for you to feel long term support. Right. And so that's just like, you know, if I broke my leg and I'm like, well, I don't want long term support because I want to be able to walk around. So I refuse to wear the cast. So I eventually hurt my leg or hurt my arm or hurt my back more because I don't follow the instructions. Right. So part of being supported by God is to embrace his correction as needed, right? Embracing what he's saying. And so this week I'm talking about God. Next week I'm going to talk about people that support you. Amen. We're going to talk about the community and family and all that stuff like that. But today we're talking about God's correction as he comes. And his correction can come through us as we preach and teach and as you listen to the word and you listen, read the Bible and all those things. So don't neglect his correction. Amen. And so the last one is his word, right? How does God support us? But through his word. It is his enduring truth, his word, right? His word, the Bible talks about, is sharper than a two-edged sword, right? It comes to pierce, right? So the word comes to change you, right? It comes to encourage you. It comes to build you up. It comes to help you to know that he's with you. Right? Sometimes we don't know where he's with us because we forget. Right? We forget. But it is in his word where we begin to see God support people time and time again. From Genesis to Revelation, he supported his people. Right? He made everyone. He loves everyone. But God is not for everybody. Right? God is not for everybody. He loves everybody. They are his children. But there's something about being in relationship with him. Right? Those that don't believe, they can believe. And they can come to know God. But there's something about those that know him. Right? There is a benefit. It's not better than, it's better off. Right? It's not the fact that God doesn't want to help the sinner. But what he wants to do is help those that have chosen him, right? So there's a benefit in choosing him. You come to know him. You come to access. He says that we are heirs and joint heirs. How many of y'all know what heirs mean? Right? That means you're going to inherit something. Somebody passes away, it means you get something. He says, we are heirs. Who are those that are heirs? Those that believe. Those that trust him, those that put their faith in him, he says, you will be the recipient of salvation, which means rescuing, right? So this whole thing is shown in his word. And so as we get in his word, we begin to understand that Jesus said this. He says, come to me, all that are heavy. And when you have all the weight of the world, right, when you have all the issues of sin, of depression, of helplessness, of whatever you're going through, he says, come to me, right? And I'll take that off you, right? Sometimes we hold the weight of the world on us. But how many of y'all know you weren't designed to hold it? You weren't designed to handle all the things that are happening to you. That's why he says this in his word. Cast all your what? All your cares. Everything that you're facing, everything that you're going on. I don't sometimes be like, well, I won't bother God with that. It can just be, well, my toe's hurting. Or my head's hurting. Why not? Why not? He cares. He cares. He knows how many hairs are on your head, and in my case, in my chin. He knows. He knows. He knows you intimately. And when we are believers, his word says that he will be for us and not against us. Right? He says that he says he'll be closer than a brother, closer than a sister, closer than a friend. It is in his word where he says, I will bear you up like eagle's wings, right? And so eagle's wings, they are long and they are wide and they're able to fly super high. Right? He says, I'll bear you up like that. But guess what? If we're not reading a word, if we're not meditating on the word, then we can find ourselves unsupported. So God has given us some things today that he says, in my presence, I want to support you. In correction, I want to support you. In my word, I want to support you. So today, God is saying, as I close, God, he is your support. He's your first support. I missed that part. I done skipped over to him being your first support, right? There are many support systems, but God is your first support system. Why? Because he created you. He knows you better. You can come to me and ask me for support, and guess what? I got to get to know you, and I got to figure out how to support you. But when you go to God, because he is the original designer, he knows exactly what to say to you. He knows your fears. He knows what you're thinking. He knows your heart. He knows all those things. And so that's why he said, I'm your first support. Your first support. Meaning the first thing you go to when you feel unsupported. Not all the other stuff. Right? All the other stuff. It can work. It can work. Family and friends and pastors and medication and this and that. All those are support systems. But he is the first of what he said he wants you to come to him first. Before you call a friend, before you call a pastor, before you call, you know, this person or that person, before you do what helps you to take your mind off of stuff, whatever it may be. It may be meditating, that's getting in his word, that's coming to him, that's being in his presence, but we'll sometimes go away from those things first, isn't that right? Because that seems like a little bit of trouble. Right, it's easier for me to just call my best friend on the phone instead of just taking that 5 minutes, right? And just 5 minutes just to say, God, I need your help. God, help me. All throughout the day, when I'm going through stuff, I try to make it a habit that I'm constantly meditating on him. I need him, right? I need him throughout my day. I need him in tough situations. I need him. Let him be your first support. Let him be your first option. And everything else is second. And that can be through that. That can be through his word, through his presence, through his power, whatever it would be. But he promises to be your support today. He is our peace in the storm. Jesus died for you so that he could support you and pray for you. Right? He's called the great intercessor. He is in heaven right now, Terry, praying for you. Right? He's praying for you. He's praying for you, Martha. He's praying for you, Mario. He's praying for each and every one of you. Right? It says he intercedes. He says, God, forgive him. God, help him. God, strengthen him. Why? Because one time Jesus needed help. Right? I was looking up about that. And it's like, you know, when Jesus was carrying the cross, you know, he fell down. And so they assigned the man Simon from Cyrene to help pick up the cross for him and carry the cross, like put the cross back on it and help him take the cross all the way up to the hill. And so Jesus knows that when you're struggling, he understands. He says, God, I struggled too. And somebody came and helped me. He said, God, help him. God, give them peace. God, support them. God, send your spirit, right? Send your spirit. We have the Holy Spirit with us, right? That promises to never leave us. He promises to be the great comforter. Isn't that good news today? Right? He sent the Holy Spirit to confirm the fact that he is with us. And so my last point is, he says, God has not given us the spirit of fear. He's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So if you feel unsupported today, know that God has given you not the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. You can trust him today. You can trust him to be your support. You can be confident that when you turn to him, he's in no way going to deny you. I don't care what situation, I don't care where you're at in your life. And if you don't know him today, then you can turn to him today and reap the benefits of salvation. You can come to know him. But if you find yourself as a believer struggling, I'll ask you this. Will you receive his support today? Will you receive his support? Because he's pouring out his support through his word, through faith, right? Through his presence, through prayer. We've done all these today, right? And so you should feel supported. And so as I close, again, I'll say, will you receive his support? Will you believe his word? Or are you going to keep believing that you're not really supported? That he's not really there with you, right? What are you going to believe today? What are you going to believe? Are you going to believe that he's your strength? Are you going to believe that he's your peace? Are you going to believe that he's with you? I hope you do. So as I'm done. And so if everyone can stand as we play this song, it talks about you are my strength. And so I believe today that God has given you strength to feel supported. Amen. Strength to pray. Strength to be corrected. Strength to know his word. Hallelujah. Yes, he is our strength. He supports us.
You are my strength.
Thank you, Lord. He wants to be your strength. Not too far away.
In the fullness of your grace. Come on, church. In the fullness of your grace. In the power of your name.
In the power of your name.
Let me testify. You lift me up.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
He lifts us up.
You lift me up.
If you're down today, he lifts you up. To be your strength today. He wants you to believe his word. that you are supported, that he's going to guide you, and that it is his strength that will support you through the hardest times in your life, difficult times, even in the good times. God is going to keep you. He's going to sustain you. He's going to build you up. He's going to bring you to the next place that he's promised you. He's not a man that he would lie, nor the son of man that he would change his mind about what he said about you. He's going to bring you out. He's going to bring you up. He just needs you to believe. Believe the word today. Trust him. Trust him. He's going to work it out. I know you can't see it. I know you don't even feel it right now. But he says, I'm your strength. He says, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. In your weakness. You keep doing it on your own. You keep doing it your way. But he says, trust me. Trust my way. Trust my power. Trust my salvation. Trust my plan for your life. He says, and I'm going to give you the strength that you didn't even know you had. Amen. Strength you didn't even know you had. You're going to be at peace even when everything's going wrong. I need you to trust him. Trust him. Trust him. Trust him. I need you to get this in your spirit to trust him. He is your support. He is your support. And God, we thank you. God, we praise you. God, I thank you for every person represented here, every person on Facebook, God, every person that would watch the replay, every person that would hear the podcast, God, that you would be their strength. That they would stand in faith, believing your word, that you are with them, that you will never leave them or forsake them, that you are closer than a brother, closer than a sister, closer than a mother or a father, closer than a husband, a wife, or a child. God, we thank you that you are all that we need. And God, we thank you. You are our strength. You are our support. And you can be trusted. In the darkest places of our lives, God, we thank you, God. I thank you, God, for the strength that is being imparted even now, for the spirit, oh God, that's being built up in every person to believe and trust you, that you are our support. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Can we give God a hand clap of praise for what he has done by his spirit? Glory to God. We're going to open the altar for anyone that might need prayer. If you don't know him today, we invite you to come and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to trust him with your life. That's simply what salvation is. It is trusting God with your life, that you want to be part of him. You want to follow him. And for all of us that know him, amen. If you need prayer for anything, if you need prayer for strength, if you need prayer for support, you need prayer for healing, whatever it may be, we invite you to come and get prayer. The altar is open.
Maybe you need support for the assignment that the Lord has on your life. Maybe God has called you to do things that is heavier than you thought, heavier than you anticipated. And you need someone to support you. And you need to make sure you have enough strength to do what God has called you to do. The altar is open. And sometimes it's not just, sometimes you need the support just being the right type of wife, the right type of husband, the right type of friend. Lord, help me to be the right type of mother. Thank you, God. Sometimes it can feel like I got it right, and sometimes it can feel like I got it all wrong. Oh, God, help me to be the right type. Give me the support that I need to fulfill the assignments that you have on my life. Can we just lift our hands right here and allow God to pour his strength into you? You can let it keep going. Just lift your hands as surrender, but also as a place of receiving. Lord, I'm receiving your spirit. Hey, hey, open up wide, open up wide. I'm receiving your spirit. Not the spirit that I had when I came in, a new spirit. A new spirit, because you're doing a new thing in me. I'm receiving the spirit. I'm receiving your spirit. Come on, take it in. He says, I want to give you my spirit. I receive your spirit, God. I don't resist him. I don't put a cap on him. I open up wide because I need him. I need him every hour, every second, every minute. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. You are welcome. Empower me. Build me up, lift me up. Oh God, I thank you for your spirit. Hey, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. If you reach for him, he'll reach back. Oh, if you reach for him, he'll reach back. If you reach for him, if you let go of you and you reach for him, he'll reach back. Oh God, pour out your spirit in this place. Oh God, pour out your spirit in this place. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hey, hallelujah. 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 Oh God, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Hey, hallelujah. We thank you. There's no other place we'd rather be than in your spirit, in your presence, God. So we thank you. We thank you for visiting us this day. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Esha. Hallelujah.
Speak truth.
Spirit of God, speak truth. Spirit of God, speak truth. Yeah, let her know what God looks like when he looks at her. He's not angry. He has tender eyes when he looks at you. He has tender eyes when he looks at you. It's love and grace when he looks at you. It's love and grace when he sees you. He's not disappointed in you. The devil is a liar. Everybody,
say it reaches.
Yeah,
Let's declare it one more time. You are my strength. Come on. You are my strength. Yes, you are.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to say this as we close and get ready to offer an announcement. Sometimes we can think our mess ups are stronger than the blood of Jesus. And I need you to know that your mess up is not stronger than his blood. Your problems are not stronger than the blood of Jesus. Like, oh, I went too far. No, the blood has more power than your sin. Your sin ain't strong enough to defeat the blood of Jesus and what it did on Calvary. So I don't care how bad you mess up or what you do and how you say it. The blood is more powerful than your sin. That's good news that I can't go too far, that the blood can't reach me. That's good news that I can't mess up too much, that the blood can't heal it and fix it and restore it. I can't mess up too much that the blood can't fix it. Woo. So just in case the lie that's being told is that, oh, you done messed up too much. There's no way the Lord can use you now. You done did this. You done did that. Your sin, you ain't that bad. I'm sorry. You ain't that bad to make sure that the blood don't still work. So I'm so glad that it reaches to the highest mountain and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood. Yes, God. Woo! Hey! Because I was the lowest valley. It reaches to me. Okay, we're going to review offering and announcement, but I'm so glad that the blood still works, that he keeps applying the blood to my case. I'm so glad that I can't mess up so much that he don't love me no more. It says, what can separate me from the love of God? Not depth, nor height, nor things present or things to come. I'm so glad. It's good news to me. It's good news to me. It's good news to me. My mama may have thought I was a mess up, but God doesn't think I'm a mess up. I'm so glad. It's good news to me that I can't be separated from the love of God. It's good news to me. Woo! Who's doing offering? I don't even know. Oh, God. All right, here we go.
We thank God that not only is he our support, he is our provider. He is everything we need. So as we transition into this time of offering, if you will indicate your need for an envelope by raising your hand. We have many ways to give. You can text to give at 859-888-1190. You can cash app at $RCCLex. And you're welcome to give online at remnant-communitychurch.com. You're welcome to come from where you are to give. God, we thank you that your blood still works, and we thank you that we have to give. We thank you that you so tirelessly pour into us. So it is an honor and a privilege to give back to you. We pray for this offering and all that you desire for it to do, to uplift your kingdom and to draw into your body. We glorify, magnify your name. Amen. Yeah, 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 the blood still works.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, time, da-da-da-da-da, both sides. It still works. God, we glorify you. Hey, my soul is happy because the blood still works. I rejoice. Go ahead, go